You're hearing the legendary and iconic Kermit Ruffins. He certainly has memories like so many of you of Hurricane Katrina, and musicians were impacted by this in personal ways and in many professional ways as well. We continue remembering Hurricane Katrina 20 years later. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us, and Kermit Ruffins joins us in the studio. Kermit, welcome to the show.
All aboard.
Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure.
Started playing trumpet in the eighth grade. You're in junior high school in Treme.
Actually, at Lawless in the Lower Ninth Ward, where
Lower
I was born and raised.
Lower Ninth Ward, all right.
But I started the Rebirth in 82 in the Treme at Clark Senior High School, yes.
All right, so let's go back to you starting to play the trumpet. You know, like it was cool for, you know, people to play guitar, and you pick up the trumpet in the eighth grade. What drew you to the trumpet?
Well, the trumpet, my uncle Percy Williams, he plays with Irma Thomas now, and it's my mom's younger brother. He would come to the house in the Lower Ninth Ward back there on Jordan Avenue and pull out that shiny trumpet almost every Saturday and put it in my hand. His trumpet was real shiny and clean and smelled good. My trumpet smells like beer. But anywho, that really drew me to it. And my grandfather, Kermit Ruffins, he was born in 1908, and he brought me my first trumpet. And I was in eighth grade, joined the marching band, march all the Mardi Gras parades, you know, caught that bus across the Industrial Canal every day to go to high school. And it's history from there.
Yeah, you said that Louis Armstrong was an influence for you.
Yeah, one of my biggest, for sure. You know, I think I was at a place called Mule's. Nice lunch spot. And I ordered a shrimp sandwich, and I played the jukebox. And I played When You're Smiling by Louis Armstrong. And I was convinced, I said, I never heard a trumpet sound that good. So I started watching all the black and white videos of Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, and I just went crazy with that jazz to the point where I wanted to be Louis. And now there's an airport, Louis Armstrong International Airport. I just played his birthday the other day at the airport, and it's been the best ride ever. When I tell you, I'm 60 years old now, and I done have the time of my life and seen the world a few times.
You look great.
Oh, thank you. You look great.
Kermit, when you talk about that special sound of Louis Armstrong, I mean, you blow into a trumpet. Anybody can blow into a trumpet. What is it especially that Louis Armstrong did, and what is it that you try to do that makes the sound special?
Well, Louis' sound was always super happy, and it was the most, he played on the most technical ever. He played the most technical notes ever that today people can't even do.
Really?
I mean, I live his fun and joy of the music, but I'll never be able to play like that.
Wow. That's interesting, because, you know, you hear a trumpet, you think people blow into the trumpet, and it's all the same, but it's not.
No, indeed.
Yeah. So there's a big concert Friday night at the Orpheum Theater. Waves of Grace, Remembering Katrina. It's open to all ages. Doors open at 6. The show starts at 7 o'clock. And you are going to be a big part of this. Tickets are available now at Ticketmaster.com. So let's think about your earliest memory of Katrina. And when did you know that things were really going wrong?
Yeah, I remember watching a Saints game in California in a van with my piano player at that time, David Tolkanowski. And he had his phone up, so we were watching the game, and we were watching at the same time. There's a big storm coming to New Orleans. Now, we're flying home the next day. Then a storm came right after that. So I remember getting off the plane, going to Lowe's, boarding up the house, getting the family over at the house, and driving to Baton Rouge in a bunch of traffic. I mean, just hours before the storm hit. And then looking back at the TV, it just disastrous. I mean, to the point where my sister is a police officer, maybe 30 years. She's in the Superdome, and she's telling me stuff. And that's the hardest ship that I had. But I could only imagine anyone that was stuck here that didn't leave, which is impossible for everyone to leave.
Yeah.
So I really think about that a lot, especially coming up to the 20th anniversary. There's a lot going through the soul in the heart and mind of, I think, of every individual that's from New Orleans.
Do you find it helpful to think about how the city got through that and how individuals got through that? As tough, as difficult as that was, we got through it, and I personally think the city's better now than it was before Katrina.
Yeah, I think you always think about the families that have people that they lost, you know. It always goes back to that. Because my dad, we grew up in a lower ninth ward right there by Holy Cross, Jordan Avenue, all my life. And that was the first time my dad left. Because normally he'd be like, let's ride it out. And we've got pillows on the floors, we're laying down. Just riding the storm out. Almost every storm that they had, except for Katrina, we made my dad and everybody else, we got out. And I always go back to thinking about, what if we would have stayed? We wouldn't be here, that's for sure. So my heart goes out to every family that had to suffer a loss. And it was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. When you did your first gig after the storm and after the disaster, there was still a lot of damage. But when you did your first gig, talk to me about how it felt to play your horn for the first time after the storm. Because what comes out of your horn is your soul. It's your heart. It's you. What did you feel like? What did you want to come out of your horn in that first gig after Katrina?
Well, it was a lot of joy knowing that we were coming back. But at the same time, deep down in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, you're thinking that it's going to be a long road. Because I came back with National Geographic maybe 20 days after, and went to my home in the lower ninth ward and videoed, because we were in Houston, and I videoed and went back and showed my dad and my mom and all the family the devastation of the of our home, the family home. So playing the horn just made it's comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you got people in the audience, and everybody's crying and laughing and having fun at the same time. So, and it probably was at Vaughn's Lounge, was my first gig back, because I was playing there every Thursday for about 20 years.
So it was a moment of happiness to some degree, but then there was a reality that set in about what it was going to take to come back.
Yeah, you're on the stage, it's all... It feels good. Then you walk back outside, and you still could smell refrigerators that was left out, see debris everywhere. Yeah. And then when you drive through the city, some lights wasn't even on yet. I mean, of course. And I mean, because I got back maybe about 8 months after. So, and it still was a big mess, man. Big mess.
Kermit, when you saw your home in the lower ninth ward after you'd come back, What's a cherished memory that was lost?
I was a kid, maybe about 12 years old, and my dad would shoot reel-to-reel videos.
Yeah, I remember that.
And and we had them stacked up. So I was the guy sitting at the dining room table, 12 years old, splicing the little ones and putting it on the big ones. I would just splice them together and put them all together. Then we put it in the attic. So we lost all of that. That's what I always think about when I think about losing a lot of great material as far as growing up as a kid. I would cut grass. I would go fishing. And all those videos, all that's gone.
Yeah. I guess it's important for us all to remember at a time like this when so many memories are lost that really it's only the materialistic memories that are lost, that we still have the memories in our minds. And I guess we have to revert to those memories in our minds and hearts even more because we don't have the tangible evidence of those memories.
And all we can do is tell stories about it, you know, because we had some videos of me marching in the band for the first time and just all my siblings, my grandmother, Miss Mildred Ruffin. She was the head chef at Lawless Senior High School, and I would be in the kitchen with her, peeling up pecans for the for the plowrines that we would make 100 for church on Sunday. We'd make 100 of those and 10 cakes, and I was the sous chef most of the time.
Wow. So was there a time when you were concerned that we would not make it back?
No, not at all.
Good.
Zero. Good. It's nowhere in the world that this city wasn't going to come back, of course. And I still go to the lower ninth ward, and I still see a lot of empty lots everywhere. So my dream is to move back down there and die there.
Because that's home.
But not in the flood. Yeah. God.
Yeah. So do you have anything fresh, new you want to talk about?
Oh, I play at my bar every Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday at 6 to 8. That's always fun.
Yeah.
I'm barbecuing almost every day.
Oh, that's another thing that you're really into, barbecue. What's special about Kermit Ruffin's barbecue sauce?
Well, I think something about standing by the grill, it's just so family picnic-ish, if that's a word.
Do you think that no matter how socialized and evolved we are as human beings, when I think about grilling meat over an open fire, that it brings us back to almost like the caveman days.
Yes.
I mean, it draws us back to, like, you know, the families around, you know, and there's the man cooking the meat.
Right.
That he went to go, you know, kill at the grocery store.
Right. At the grocery store. It's something about showing off, standing by the grill with an apron on.
Yeah.
Before a Saints game or any time. Something about it, the smell, it just brings back so many memories to the point where your head just starts running of nothing but joy and fun and love, you know, family picnics.
But is there something special about the Kermit Ruffin's barbecue sauce?
No, not really. I hardly ever use sauce. I was lucky enough to cook on Bobby Flay, Andrew Simmons, where I cooked turtle and raccoon. And I was lucky enough to hang out with Emerald. I played Emerald's wedding, and I played a lot of shows with Emerald across country where he would cook in people's living rooms, and my band would be set up. And Emerald would cook and talk, and I'll play a little music. Emerald would cook and talk, I'll play a little music. And we did a lot of traveling during that show.
All right, what does raccoon taste like?
Delicious.
You seriously?
Just take it and boil it like some good old crab oil. Put everything you want, bell peppers, everything in there. And then at the end, you infuse it with a bunch of sweet potatoes.
Yeah, it's good.
And you drain it and slide in the oven until it turns brown. And my God, delicious. With some good old yellow grits.
Well, you know, the only way I'd eat it is if you cooked it like you just described cooking.
That's the only way to do it.
Kermit, look, have a great time Friday night. Waves of Grace, Remembering Katrina. It's live at the Orpheum Theater. It's the 29th, the anniversary of Katrina. Irma Thomas, Kermit Ruffins, my friend Amanda Shaw, Rockin' Doopsie Jr., who is a big fan of our show, Ella Grace Francis, Sarah Jane McMahon, and the Rebirth Brass Band, which you started in, 1982?
That's right.
Yeah, all right. So it's a 100% benefit event. All proceeds from this concert will go along with accompanying a live album and be donated to charities that are still supporting local families, because there are people who still need help from this.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's going to be nonstop. I mean, 20 years feels like it went like that.
Yeah,
and here we are, 20 years doing a big dedication. Come on down to the Orpheum. I'm looking forward to it.
You are looking great. You're sounding great. And thank you so much for taking time to get up and join
us
here in the studio.
Happy to be here.
All right. Kermit Ruffins. I'm Scoot, and we will come back with more. And we'll go to break here with a Rebirth medley from Kermit himself. And we'll be right back on WWL.